Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And I'm live tonight. I will be discussing the Metaphysical Conference that we're going to be having next week. You know, for the last couple of months, I've been interviewing a lot of our authors who are going to be speakers at the conference, and we're coming down to the wire. The one author or speaker I was going to have tonight was unable to be on the show, so I'm going to try to go over and recap all the ones that are going to be there, and then I'll be talking about some other things, too. But we're getting very excited about it because it is getting close, and it's not going to be much longer. It starts next Friday. And the people are registering like crazy. They're coming in every day. This is going to be the biggest show that we have ever done. This is our fourth year of the Transformation Conference here in Arkansas. And this is the biggest turnout we've had so far. And we have just started some of our local advertising, so we're really figuring we're going to fill the entire auditorium, which will make everybody very pleased. But before we go any further, let me give out the toll-free number in case anyone does want to call in tonight. If they want to ask me any questions about anything, it doesn't matter if it has to do with a conference or what. But the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. They said that's the new toll-free number, 888-815-9756, just in case anybody does want to call in. Okay, but we started this metaphysical conference, you know, 4 years ago, and we've always had a very good keynote speaker every time. The first conference we did, we had the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, who was one of my authors. And after that, we decided to turn it into a showcase for the authors that we are publishing. One of the main reasons is to kind of let them get their feet wet. Some of these authors have never done any speaking. They've never done any public appearances. And being on my show here was the first time they'd ever done anything like that, and a lot of them were kind of scared about it. But I think it's very, very important, and I tell them this, that you must promote your book. Once we publish the book, that's just the very beginning. No book sells itself by just sitting on the shelf. You have to get out there and promote it and let people know who you are. But a lot of them are scared, and I understand that. So I've had them on my show to at least get them used to start talking about the book. So many of them are coming to the conference, and that's what I decided to have the conference for, to let these people get started in a friendly setting where they will be able to, you know, to talk to people about their books before they go out and start doing other lectures with other conferences. I've done so much of this. You know, I've been doing it for 20 years, and there was a time there I was doing a different conference every week all over the United States, and that got to be a little too much because I was on the plane all the time, and I started slowing down on the public appearances, but that didn't mean I was slowing down on my traveling. But that was people, when we had our first conference, everybody said, "You mean this is the first one you've ever done?" They said it was so professionally done. But yeah, but I've been attending and speaking at conferences for 20 years. I've been helping with the UFO conference in Eureka Springs for 22 years. So you should learn something along the way. So I figured out how to do these things. So we started doing our own. At least it wasn't new. We knew how to put one together anyway. Okay. The conference is going to be in Bentonville, Arkansas. Now, Bentonville, as most of you probably know, is the home of Walmart. That's their headquarters. And this weekend is Walmart weekend. They have such a huge crowd over there in Bentonville because everybody is here for the Walmart shareholders meeting. But that's why we didn't want to have it on that weekend. But Walmart is the one who has built our airport. The airport is right there at Bentonville, Arkansas. And if anybody does want to fly in for the conference, it's called the Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport. The call letters are XNA. And Walmart built the airport mostly because of the headquarters being right there. But it helps me when I fly out so much. It's very convenient. It's the only small airport in the United States that has direct flights to L.A., New York, Miami, and Washington, D.C., because they bring in so many people for the Walmart business. So they've got clout, I guess, so they were able to fix it so they could have direct flights. I'm not going to argue with that, because that does help me when I'm traveling so much. So even though this is a small town around here, Walmart is the big thing. So the conference is going to be in Bentonville at the Clarion Hotel. And this is very close to the airport, so anybody coming in, they have a shuttle going from the airport to the hotel. The Clarion Hotel in Bentonville, Arkansas. And if you want to find the address and more details about it, telephone numbers and everything, you can check on our website. It has all the information, or you can call the office. They do have rooms set aside at a special rate. But they just told us yesterday that the entire hotel is now completely full. And they were a little doubtful in the beginning that we could even pull off the allotted block of rooms. But they said they were very surprised to find out the entire hotel is full. But right next to the Clarion is the Sleep Inn, which they also own. So they're putting people over there. So there is still rooms right there. So if you check our website, you get a lot more information about this conference. And our website is www.OzarkMountain. You know, we are Ozark Mountain Publishing, so it's Ozark Mountain, and it's abbreviated in the website, OzarkMT.com. Or if you're overseas, it's OzarkMT.com. All the information about the conference is in there, and our telephone number is 1-800-935-0045, 1-800-935-0045. You want to get more information about this. Of course, one of the main reasons so many people are signing up is our big draw is our keynote speaker. And I've had all these people on the show, and in case you missed it, Helen Reddy is our keynote speaker. And we're just so proud that she is going to be here and be able to do this. We were really surprised when she called us, her agent and everybody called us. They said she wanted to meet us. So she is from Australia. So we met her when we were over there in November. We took her to dinner and got to know this fantastic lady. And she said she wanted to come to our conference. So it just about bowled us over because somebody like that would want to come here. But she's agreed to come, and so we're bringing her all the way from Australia. And now the younger people probably won't know who Helen Reddy is, but I think the majority of others out there will. That in the 70s is when she was very famous as a singer. And she had about, let's see, I think it has on the paper here, she had 47 hit records at that time, and she was the only Australian to ever win a Grammy for her hit song. And most people know her, she's famous for the hit song that she wrote, I Am Woman. If you remember that song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. And that was the most famous one that she did. And that made her to become, I guess you would say, I don't want to say the mother of Women's Lib or whatever, the founder of it, the backbone of it. She doesn't like to admit to any of these things. She's a very low-key person. She doesn't see herself as the importance that she had and the influence that she had upon women's lib and upon women's rights. She doesn't see that, because when you're in the middle of anything, you don't really see it. But she was very much involved with that because of her song. It was right at the time a women's lib movement was starting and the women's rights. So she was very influential in all of that. And she was a hit singer up until whenever she decided to retire, which in 2001 she got out of music. And she said it's because she just got tired of it. She has been in acting and, you know, movies and TV. She's been on the stage and everything since she was 4 or 5 years old. So it's a whole lifetime of being in the public eye. And she said she just got tired of doing it, and that's why she finally got out. And at that time, she took up a whole new career. And that's where she's now into our field, metaphysics. She is a hypnotherapist. She went back to college. I think she was about 60 years old when she went back to college and got her degrees and became a hypnotherapist, and she's practicing in Australia. That's why we had a connection, that she's very interested in past lives, and that's why she wanted to meet. So, but a lot of people have said, what in the world would a former singer have to talk about at a metaphysical conference? But her whole entire life has been strange and unusual and very much involved in the spiritual, with strange happenings since she was a child. Near-death experiences, out-of-the-body experiences. So we're just going to have to see what she's going to talk about. But it's amazing how she has come into a second career now, and now she is traveling and lecturing in this field. We're all into the metaphysics. But the things she has talked about that's happened in her life are really fascinating. And we asked her, what are you going to talk about at the conference? She says, I don't know. I just do it as it comes. So it's going to be interesting anyway. But she will be speaking on Saturday evening, where the conference is going to be June 12th to the 14th next week, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Helen Reddy will be speaking on Saturday evening, the main one. But we have many other speakers, too, that are really fascinating. Because, you know, I don't publish anybody unless I really believe in their work. I always tell people, I don't publish junk. I publish good books, books that are into metaphysics, books that people want to know, have information about. And so the authors that I represent, I really believe in their work. So I'm going to kind of go down the list here of some of the speakers that are going to be talking. You may remember these if you've been listening to the show. Well, one of them is Karen Peebles, and I just had her on a few weeks ago. A very ordinary person. She's a mother, has children, and her husband just died a year or so ago of cancer. So she's as ordinary as anybody out there. But yet she had a very extraordinary experience, and that's what she writes about. Her book is called The Other Side of Suicide. And when I first got this book and, you know, reading the manuscripts, I thought this is going to be a downer, because who in the world would want to write about that? It's probably writing about her personal experiences. I get so many autobiographies sent to me. And autobiographies are usually only interesting to the people in your family. If I'm going to publish an autobiography, it's going to have a broad mass market appeal. So I don't do a lot of autobiographies. So I thought maybe that was what it was about. Because the original title was What Happens After Suicide, so that's what I was thinking. But this woman and her experience that she had was that suddenly her uncle began appearing to her and talking to her. Her uncle had died 25 years before, and he had committed suicide. And she didn't even know him that well. And it was like, what in the world is he appearing to her about for? And so he began talking to her and telling her, you've got to write this book about suicide. So he was going to tell her what happens when a person commits suicide, what it's really like on the other side. And when I read the manuscript, I said, I know I've got to do this because it goes along with the same findings that I have found in my work. There was no contradiction because, you know, the church always wants you to believe that if you commit suicide, you're doomed and you're going to hell or purgatory, you know, and there's no salvation or anything. You know, that's the end. Well, I found that's not true. And so I wanted to know what she had found. And she found out the same things I did, that once the person commits suicide, they are met with great love on the other side. There are spirits there who that is their job, to take these souls and to work with them, because they realize they only made a mistake, they took on too much, and they have to be worked with. They can't come back right away. It would be too traumatic on them, too hard. And she did say something interesting on the air a couple of days ago. These all came from her uncle, who, you know, who she said died, and he was on the other side working with suicide victims that had come over. So he knew where they went and what happened at that time. He said every single one of them, the minute they died and went over into the spirit realm, they all wanted to get back into the body. They all wanted to get back into the life. They had realized they'd made a very bad mistake. And the same thing I found, you don't die anyway. People think, well, if I commit suicide, that's the end. I'm out of this. I don't have to be in this mess anymore. That's not true, because there's not a curtain that just comes down. You're always alive. You never die anyway. So you're either alive here or you're alive when you cross over, but different set of circumstances. So when they cross over, they said that's the first thing they realize. Hey, I didn't get out of anything. And there's a lot of remorse, and they wish they could not have done it. So they want to get back into the body, which of course they can't. But they are met by very loving spirits who take them to a special place where they can be worked with. And there's special energies that have to be done. A lot of very caring work is done with these people. There's a great deal of love involved. And he calls it the Emerald City, is where he would work with these people. I said, that sounds like the Wizard of Oz. But it's a beautiful place. Well, you know, green is a healing color, a healing energy. So I guess he shouldn't be surprised that it would be called the Emerald City, because it would be green. But they're taken to this place, and I had been told it's like a spiritual hospital where they're cared for and, you know, worked with, and it can take a long time before they're ready to come back and try it again. And, you know, a suicide never gets out of it, never escapes from it, because when they come back, they're put back in the same circumstances, so you really don't get out of anything. So this is an amazing story, and I think it's very important for people to know this. If they've had people in their family who have died, or if they have other people who are contemplating it, it's a very valuable book. It's a small book, but I thought it was very important. And so she's going to be one of the speakers that are going to speak about this. And she kind of feels like she was just pushed into this involuntarily, because she didn't realize she was going to have to go out and talk about it. But she felt she really needed to publish the book. And she was told so much about the other side and what happens when you die. And at the same time all of this was going on and her uncle was giving her this information, was at the time her own husband was dying of cancer, and she was writing this book, and she said it would have been a lot harder if she hadn't have had this information to help her deal with everything that was happening. So it's Karen Peebles with The Other Side of Suicide, and she's going to be one of our speakers. Then we have Don Shorn. He was a speaker last year, too, because we are publishing three of his books. Now, I keep telling people, I expect him to really go beyond Zachariah Sitchin. These are the kind of books that he's writing about. The story of the Earth, how Earth began, and you know how it was seeded from outer space, and how the ETs, I guess if you want to call them that, have been here since the beginning of time, helping man to evolve. But where Zechariah Sitchin got his information from translating the Sumerian tablets, and he only covers a small portion of Earth's history, Don Shorn has spent many years in doing extensive research. This is where his most important and valuable asset is that he's able to do such tremendous amount of research and dig into all the little things. Some of these things I had never heard of. He's found documents that I'd never heard of. And going all the way back, this is why it's taken three books to tell the story. It's called The Elder Gods Theory. And the first one came out last year, and it had such an extensive amount of information going from the time of the developments, you know, from the caveman all the way through to modern times. And it's tremendous amount of information. And then when we were going to publish the second book in the series, people said, I don't know what else he could write about. He seemed to have covered everything in the first book. But he did. He covered even more. He covered all the different countries of the world and going back into the ancient ruins and the evidence that he's found there. The third book in the series will be coming out by before the end of this year. So it'll be a three-volume set dealing with what is called the Elder Gods Theory. So he'll be talking a lot about that, of what he has found in his research. And he's meticulous in his what he has uncovered. So we're very excited about him, too, and especially with the three books that we're publishing of his. It's an ongoing thing. And then there's going to be Sherry Cortland. She was on my show just last week because I had one of my authors that ended up couldn't make it, so we had to replace him with Sherry Cortland. And her book isn't even out yet, but we told her, well, she can talk about it anyway. But Sherry Cortland wrote the book Windows of Opportunity, and she's going to be talking about that. And it has to do with the things that happen in your own life. Like, you may think things that happen are negative, but sometimes that can be the very thing that will open up a window of opportunity for you to turn your entire life around. Even people in our lives that we think are negative are actually there doing us a favor when we look back on it, because they turned everything around and made events happen that wouldn't have happened ordinarily. So it's a different way of looking at things in your life. Sometimes that's all it takes, is a different viewpoint to make things line up differently. But she's going to be speaking on her book, Windows of Opportunity. Now, another one is Julia Hansen. This is a remarkable woman. She was on the show and talked about all the things that she went through. You know, it's amazing, all the things we go through in our life that we think of as negative, that have been bad for us, actually turn out to be teaching experiences, teaching tools. After the fact, when we're in the middle of it, we can't see that. All we think is, oh, poor me, you know, the victim part. But later, we can see the different things that happened to us were there for a definite reason. Now, with her, she broke her back, and she ended up having to heal herself. But she's very much into the metaphysics, the complicated metaphysics. Because as she has gone on and on in her work, she's getting into the kind of things that I'm getting into, like the 2012 and the raising of the energy, shifting into the new vibrations and the frequencies, and how our bodies are changing, and how everything about us is changing as we're moving. We're awakening, literally, to be able to accept all of the changes that are happening. And she's written about that. Her book is called Awakening to Your Creation. And she'll be talking about some of the things she has discovered. On the show, too, we were also talking about how you create your own reality. Once you realize the power you have and how your mind operates, you can create anything you want in your life. You have the absolute power to do that, because the mind is so powerful, there is nothing you can't accomplish or can't have once you figure out what it is you want. That's the trick. What do you want? You can't create it if you don't know what you want. And then once you decide what you want, it's very easy to create it. She's going to be talking about things like that. And we did cover that, those things, on the air too. But it's a matter of figuring out what you want, and then if you really want it, because, you know, once you decide on it, I tell people, be careful what you ask for, because once you get it, you can't just say, no, I changed my mind, I don't want that. It's like having a child, you can't send it back once it's already here. But they, the ones that I work with, are always saying there are no limitations. Anything is possible. The only limitations are those that you place on yourself. Once you realize everything is an illusion anyway, it can be manipulated, and everything is energy, there is nothing you can't accomplish. So Julia Hansen is going to be speaking on these many different things. And her book is called Awakening to Your Creation. Then we've got a friend of mine who is coming. He's a doctor from California, a medical doctor, Haynes Ely. And he has a radio show of his own out there in California, out in Grass Valley. But the thing that makes him unique, he is has his own practice out there. He's also a professor of dermatology. But the thing that makes him as unique is this connection with John of God. This is what he's going to be talking about. He got acquainted with John of God. It's been about, it's been 1999. That's been 10 years ago that he decided to go down there. Well, he believed in what John of God was doing so much that he bought land down there and built a house right next to where John of God does his healings. So he goes down there every month and helps John of God. And he also arranges for anybody else who wants to go down there. He helps arrange their airfares and their bus trips and their lodging so they can go and see John of God. And those of you out there who are not familiar with this remarkable man, John of God, he's in Brazil. And he is what is called a psychic healer, psychic surgeon. Now, these were very popular several years ago. There were many psychic surgeons in the Philippines. And you don't hear about too many of them anymore, but John of God is still in there, and he's very popular. He sees as many as 2,000 people a day. And he does the psychic healing and the psychic surgery without any incisions. And I've had several people who have worked with him who come up to see me and have sessions. And they said there's like one big room that everybody passes through. And there's these people sit on both sides of the room meditating, and they are holding the energy. They are creating the energy to help these people with the healing before they even get into where John of God is. So they said over about 2,000 people will go through there every day, and then John of God is in trance when he's working on these people. But many of them, they say, are healed just when they're walking through that outer room to get in there. Well, Haynes Ely has been able to videotape a lot of the psychic surgery that John of God has done. He's right up on top of it, you know, the camera and everything, and he's been able to see things, film things that would think would be absolutely impossible. They could not happen. Well, this is what he's going to show. He's bringing these to the conference. He's bringing videos. It says, films of surgeries you won't believe, and talking about the trance surgery in Brazil. So he's going to be showing these films. And he did say he said he tried to show these at different medical conventions that he's gone to and attended. But of course, you know, the medical profession just laughs it off. They won't take it seriously. So he's only had a few doctors at the convention who has even been interested in it. But this is the way things are going, and I'm finding that out more and more because I'm working with doctors all over the world. They're beginning to realize the mind is what heals. The mind is so extremely powerful. That's where it's all coming from. And the doctors are more or less covering the symptoms without getting to the actual cause and the tremendous power the body has to heal itself. So I think more and more of this information is going to be coming out. But Haynes Ely is coming from California and bringing the videos. And he's going to be talking about that. And that's going to be very interesting. Okay, I'm trying to see who else we got here. I'm going down my list here. Of course, we have Justine Alessi. She's a fantastic woman. And she's been at every conference we have had. Justine Alessi is a master tarot reader. We published her book, The Rebirth of the Oracle. And the reason I did it was because she had found that the tarot have been for centuries using very, very old information, ancient information, and explanations of the cards and what the symbols in the cards mean. And she began to intuitively get modern interpretations of what they mean now. So she wrote the book, Rebirth of the Oracle, by applying the modern interpretations for our world now. It hasn't got anything to do with what happened centuries ago. It's applying what is going on in our world now to the meanings of the cards. And so she wrote this book, and she's very popular, and as a speaker, she's wonderful. To me, I think she's a lot more psychic than she gives herself credit for. And that the cards are merely a tool. But when she's doing her lecturing, she can walk into the audience and pick up a lot of things about the people in the audience. She picks up on which sign they are, you know, the different, the Queen of Cups, the King of Swords, there's the four signs, the Cups, the Pentacles, the Swords. And what's the other one? There's four different ones, the cups, yeah. And she can pick out, by looking at the person, which one of these major tarot kings or queens they are, and she can tell them all about themselves. It's a fascinating lady, and she's a terrific speaker. And she'll be speaking at the conference, too, Justine Alessi. Then we have a new author. This would be his first time to speak. He's called Keith Bender. He's an older man, and he decided to go out on a limb and write a very controversial book, what he considers to be controversial. Of course, to me, I don't, because I believe in all of these things, so I really didn't think it was controversial. But his book has to do with the church. And I suppose to the people out there who are into the religion and all of that, they might think it's heresy to question the Bible and to question what they've always been brought up with all our lives. But in the metaphysical field, we realize you can ask questions and want to know more, and that's where he's coming from. His book is called The Despiritualized Church. and he was also on the show. It has to do with the idea, going back to the beginning, what Jesus really intended for his followers, which the church didn't do. They just came out with man-made rules and laws instead of really applying what Jesus really wanted people to know, and the healing and the love that he was trying to teach. So his book explores that, the questioning of it as to what the church was really supposed to be all about in the very beginning, and how it has not done that. It has gone off in a totally different direction. So Keith Bender is going to be talking about his book, The Despiritualized Church. Then we have Ron Chapman, who has been here before. His book is called Seeing True. Now, he is a motivational speaker, an inspirational and motivational speaker. He goes all over the United States. He's part of the Toastmasters International. They've awarded him as the International Accepted Speaker designation. He's only one of 58 people in the world to have this. And he speaks not only with small groups, but he speaks with companies, organizations, firms. He helps them to work out their problems and to reorganize the whole companies and with their work staff, trying to get them to look at the problems in a different way. And sometimes that's what it takes. You have to look at it from a different perspective. When you're in the middle of things, you can't see it all. You have to be able to look at it from a different perspective. So this is what he does when he works with different organizations and groups and speaking as a motivational speaker. So his book is called Seeing True, and it has a lot of things in there that people can relate to. So he's another one of the speakers. Okay. Now, an interesting thing here is that we have several psychics that are going to be there that are speakers. And they will be also doing readings during the conference. One is Darren Owens. Darren Owens has written the book called The Reader of Hearts. And he has been psychic all of his life. And so he began doing this professionally several years ago. And he says he does life readings, and he's also, you know, can read on for people. So he's going to be talking a lot about what he does. So here we've got one psychic there. Then another one was unexpectedly we got on here. We shouldn't have him till next year. His name is Michael Dennis. He's a delightful man, and he's a professional psychic. He has been on Fox and CBS, the Jerry Springer Show. He's done loads of television and radio, and he does professional psychic call-ins. He's going to be there, and what he's going to be doing is working the audience, because he can go into the audience, and he'll be delivering messages, not only from departed people, but he's also going to be delivering messages from your own guides and guardian angels as to what somebody in the audience needs to know. Now, I am publishing this man's book. That's how I came to know him just a month or so ago. But the book's not coming out to 2010, so I thought, well, he'll be on our conference next year. But then we had cancellation, and I thought, well, this man is used to doing this. He's used to appearing before large groups of people and delivering messages. So why don't we have him come? So he's also going to be doing private readings as well as working the audience. But the book that he wrote that we're going to be publishing next year is called Morning Coffee with God. And it's an unusual title. And it was so delightful when I read it. This man has such a sense of humor that I said, this is the most delightful way I've ever found of getting information across to people, serious information, because he does it in a way that's delightful. I'm going to leave it up to the reader to decide, is he really communicating with God or what? But he says that during a time in his life, it's only been a few years ago when all this began happening, he began having what he thought was vivid dreams, but they were so real that it was hard to say if they were dreams or not, because he remembered every tiny detail of them. But it got to where he would go into the kitchen, and there would be God, you know, different forms every time, different outfits and everything, sitting at his kitchen table, and he would fix him coffee, and then God would proceed to give him a lot different wisdom and answer his questions. And the information that he gave him is delightful. It's very deep, very profound information that everybody needs to know, but it was done in such a way that made it very comfortable for him. So he said every morning this would happen. But then he would wake up and he wasn't sure if it had been a dream or what it had been. But all of the information was there, so he was able to write it down. So I'm leaving it up to the reader to decide, does this really happen or does this man have a very active imagination? Because a lot of the things he was told, he didn't know, and they made him rather uncomfortable, really. So he's a wonderful, fascinating, funny, happy guy. And he's going to be talking and doing readings for the audience, messages delivered from their guides and guardian angels. Okay. So we're going to have several people doing these unusual readings. Then another speaker is Carol Pate. She has been to all of our conferences. She's an old, old friend of mine, and she is a genuine psychic. She has been, since the age of 12, working with the law enforcement agencies. And up to date now, she said she's doing between working on 400 to 500 murder cases a year. That's a lot, 400 to 500 murder cases a year. She does 4 or 5 a day. And she has her own psychic center, too. But they're constantly calling her in for consultations. She finds missing people. Another line of her work, she goes to Egypt, and she's been working on the finding the hidden tunnels underneath the Sphinx and the pyramids. She found the Shogun's treasure in Japan. She's a fascinating lady. And a lot of you may know her because she has appeared on many TV shows and on the Court TV, the Psychic Detective. She became a regular on there. She's had many, many shows for them on the Psychic Detective show for the Court TV as they went over a lot of the cases that she's done with the different police. Now she is on the A&E show that's called the Psychic Investigator. So she's still appearing on TV as they go over and explore some of these cases that she's worked on. And she's a profound, wonderful lady. It's amazing. She says when she's doing the murder cases, none of this is pleasant. She sees it from the victim's eyes and also from the killer's eyes. And she experiences everything that they experience. So it's not a pleasant talent to have because you really feel all the emotions. She said she's been hung, strangled, even hit by a train, and she said none of it is pleasant. It's something many times she wished she didn't have this ability to do. But every time she comes, it's fascinating. People really like to hear her talk. Okay, I think that's most of the speakers, and then the only one left is me. I'm going to be there. This year, I'm going to be speaking on the Nostradamus prophecies again. I haven't spoken on that for quite a while. I've gotten over into the Convoluted Universe series that I've been writing, talking more about the New Earth and the coming changes. And, of course, when I'm at UFO conferences, they want me to talk about the UFO cases. So So I've more or less gotten away from the Nostradamus, and I began to think there's a lot of people out there who haven't really heard the prophecies, because I've been lecturing on those for 20 years since the first books came out on them. So I decided I'm going to focus on that for my talk and go over a lot of the ones who have already come true, the ones that are going to come true, what's expected to happen, and we'll try to cover some of those things in my talk, because I can talk on just about anything. As you well know, on this show, I don't have a guest. I can talk about anything because I've got so many books out. But I'm going to focus on the Nostradamus prophecies. Then another thing I'm going to be doing on the very last day before we close, I'll be doing a group regression. Now, in a group regression, I put the entire audience under at one time, because you know I am a hypnotist. I've been doing hypnosis for 40 years. So the main thing I do, in a group regression, I put the entire room under at one time, and we go back into past lives. I take you to meet your guide and guardian angel, and you get a message from him, and then we go into a future life. And it's a lot of fun, because I don't want the person to go deep. Everybody has their own individual experience, and I want them to be in a light enough level that when we're finished, they can write down what they have seen. I have done this all over the world. I've done it with as many as 75, 100 people, and all at one time. Now, this is going to be our conference right now looks like it's going to be much, much larger than that. So it's going to be interesting what people get. But anyway, it's supposed to be a fun exercise. So that's what we're going to do the last, right before we close, is the group regression. So it's going to be a lot of fun anyway. So these are all the speakers we're going to have, and I think it's going to be a fantastic conference. And as I said, if anybody is interested, to check with our website or the 800 number. And it's going to be at the Clarion Hotel in Bentonville, Arkansas. Not very far from the airport. And all the information is on our website, www.ozarkmountain.com, OZARKMT.com. And our 800 number is 1-800-935-0045. Okay, I've got about 5 more minutes here, so what I wanted to tell you about is I have a new book coming out. Totally unexpected, because I'm still working on the Convoluted Universe Book 4 and 2 other books. But this one was kind of unexpected, but I think its time has come anyway. Every time I go to a conference and do a lecture, people are always asking me, how did you get started on all of this? Well, I always tell them it's in the first book that I ever wrote. I've written 15 books now. The first book I ever wrote was called Five Lives Remembered, and it told about my beginnings, my starting. But I said that book has never been published. It was a book way before its time. That was the problem, because it talks about my beginnings, which actually started 40 years ago. It was in 1968. And how my husband and I were working in hypnosis in the very beginning days. Now, this was in the days before reincarnation, past lives, new age. Nobody knew those words. They didn't exist at that time. As a rule, you know, there's always a few people out there who knew them. But on any average, there was nothing written about them. There was nothing out there. The only book out at that time was The Search for Bridie Murphy. And as you know now, that book would never even be published. It's too simple, too ordinary. But it was a book for its time. It was a book that got people thinking along the lines of past lives. And maybe it's possible, maybe I did live another time. But it was just beginning to opened people's eyes at that time, and they had a lot of criticism against it. But at that time, my husband had just returned from Vietnam, and we were living down in Texas with a big family, and he was doing the hypnosis as just, you know, stop smoking, lose weight, doing the habits, the very simple stuff. And a doctor on the base wanted us to work with one of his patients that was having trouble with, she was very overweight and nervous eating, and so her kidneys were bothering her. So he wanted to know if we would just help her to relax. So anyway, while we were working with her is when everything began. That's why I called this book My Beginning. Everything that's in there is how I got started. And how we stumbled into reincarnation when she went back into a past life where she was in the roaring 20s in Chicago. And we didn't know what we were doing. We had no idea. I've always been open to things. I knew there was a possibility of this. So I guess it didn't shock us too much. Otherwise, we would have just stopped what we were doing and just never done anything. But we were curious. So we kept it up. And the book is called Five Lives Remembered because we took her through five different lifetimes. And I tried to verify them. We did a lot of work with them. But it's amazing that for the beginning, the tremendous amount of information that came out. And also, in those five lives, everything that is out there now in metaphysics, we had then. We didn't even know what it was. There are walk-ins mentioned, even though the term didn't even exist in those days. The name came along in the 70s when Ruth Montgomery began writing about it and called it walk-ins. But we had it. We didn't know what it was called, but it's a perfect description of it. We also had the subconscious. We had talking to God. All of it was there. And it was just very fascinating, but we didn't know what in the world we had. So it shows how I began stumbling in the dark, not having a clue what we were doing, and what you can accomplish that way before any of this was even thought of. But it all ends very tragically when my husband is almost killed in a terrible car accident. And so it all brings everything to a screeching halt. And at that time, everybody was saying, well, this is your punishment. Fooling around with stuff like that you're not supposed to be fooling around with. I never could believe that because I knew a God that I had discovered with doing this would never punish anyone for asking questions and wanting to know information. So anyway, I wrote the story of this. I wrote it I think it was about 1979. I finally wrote the book. And it was put away. I tried for many years to get it published. I couldn't get it published. It was ahead of its time. There were no New Age stores. There was nothing out there. I think it was one shelf in like Barnes & Noble or something with metaphysical books. There was way ahead of its time. I couldn't get it published. So I put it away, and then I began working on my other books that finally did get published. And everybody said, why don't you publish it? And I said, well, it's too simple. It's too ordinary. It'll be too old-fashioned. But everybody said they thought I should. So just a month or so ago, I was cleaning out my office and going through old files, and there I found the manuscript. And I gave it to my daughter, and I said, well, you read it and see. What do you think? And she said, oh, Mom, it's beautiful. It has to come out. It's a bridge book. It'll be there for the ones just starting out. And it's also a time capsule of the 1960s. So we decided to go ahead and publish it. And all I had to do was write an introduction to say why it's taken so long. So that is at the printers now. And we're already taking orders on it, and they're coming in, and I'm going to have it at the conference next week. Hopefully, it'll get off the printers in time. The book's called Five Lives Remembered. If you're interested in that, also call our 800 number or check on the website. It's on there. It's 1-800-935-0045. Okay, it looks like we're coming to the end, and I was worried what I was going to have enough to talk about tonight. Shows you how fast the time goes. All right, and I'm hope some of you will show up at the conference. It's going to be fantastic. Good night, everybody.